sites of the Boston Marathon bombing.
The FBI has now relinquished control of the crime scene. It's up to the city to wash the streets of blood, determine the structural integrity of buildings, and reopen Boylston Street to traffic. Business owners and residents are being allowed to return in shifts, and donated money should start flowing to the injured soon. They're facing staggering medical bills for prosthetic limbs and lengthy rehabilitation.
ABC's Aaron Satursky. The gap between rich and poor is larger than ever. A Pew Research Center study says it's especially evident as the economy recovers.
Affluent households have more of their wealth in financial assets, stocks and bonds and 401ks. And during that period from 2009 to 2011, the stock market rallied. Most other households have what wealth they have is in the value of their homes.
He's Paul Taylor. New home sales soared in March, up more than 18% from the same time last year, the second fastest pace in 3 years. Finding a home, however, that's another story. Inventory still is on the low side. The Dow is up 149 points, NASDAQ is 40. This is ABC News.
The IRS issued an identity theft alert to the millions of Americans who pay taxes, including many of our listeners. Here's Mayor Rudy Giuliani with a LifeLock identity theft alert.
The mayor and former federal prosecutor fighting crime. I protect myself. LifeLock.
Consumers, beware. Identity thieves know that virtually everything they need to steal your identity and even your life savings is on your tax form. Get LifeLock protection risk-free for 60 days. If you're not convinced, notify LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment, and you won't pay a cent. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code ENROLL60 or call 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
You're all that's in my heart.
which limits of 50% to 90%. Can resign. Wherefore, vote the vote last. Issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
How you doing out there? How you doing? This is Jeff in the Air Chair. It's Tuesday afternoon. We're here to talk about what's on our mind and give you, let you talk about what's on your mind. And the number here is 1-347-945-5229 or our local number 330-781-9600. If you're listening to us in the terrestrial radio. We do both here. We're doing terrestrial radio as well as, other radios, Blog Talk Radio, iHeart Radio at 600 WSOM AM on the iHeart Radio. And we welcome you to give us a call and voice your view. Looking at a lot of things that are happening out here. And we're just... You have to excuse me because I am fighting a springtime cold, and I hate it every minute of it. And, it is what it is. So forgive my muffled sound, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to know how many people are paying attention to what's going on here with how they're charging the young man up in Boston. The young second terrorist, Mr. Saneev. And are you concerned that they're not charting him as an enemy combatant? I have to say I have mixed feelings about it because he was a naturalized citizen of the country. So with that in mind, I don't necessarily think he should have been charged as an enemy combatant. However, under Homeland Security, they are able to arrest you and hold you for an indefinite period of time and without charging you. That is a new thing that they've done. So I'd really like to know what you think about that. Because
Hello?
I think they should have not given him Miranda rights yet. And the reason why I think that is I think that Miranda rights give him the ability to hide information that could save lives.
Hello?
Most people that get arrested are not getting arrested with the ability to... How should I say? They're not threatening a whole lot of other people necessarily, except when it comes to the drug trade and people that they have involved in that. And there's things that they can do in that that they should do to make sure that people are protected. But
Hello?
we need to find out what the deal is, and we need to really look at what this new law is doing. We watched the troops and the cops go in the houses looking for the quote-unquote second suspect, well, both suspects at that time. And it concerned me that this is the first time in history that, first of all, a whole city was shut down and you had troops walking in and out of houses at will. That is a huge, huge, huge intrusion into our personal civil rights.
Hello?
Well, anyway, I want to know what you think about it. I got a call up already, 267, you're in there.
Yeah, I'm calling from Philadelphia. Sometimes I don't call in because I have an ethnic sounding voice, and sometimes, like, whoever is the host, like, they have a tendency to put me on mute. But I just wanted to give a perspective from somebody who lives in an area where you have a lot of immigrants and people who are, you know, and also people who happen to be Muslim as well. I think what's happening is you have, like, a wider plot here that the government is not telling you. You probably have secret terrorist cells that are in the country that the government knows about, but they're not at the point where they can apprehend these people. They have to wait for, like, some type of plot to develop. So that's probably what's happening.
Well, you may be right. But let me say this. The reason why sometimes you get put on mute is because when we try to stop you from being on a rant, you don't stop. You just keep going. And it's hard to control that when you have eight other callers and, you know, a number of things going on.
But also you have other callers that is obvious to me that the host is, like, friends with, and these people, like, talk constantly. But I'm not trying to stay on that point. I'm just trying to say that based on my perspective, I live in an area where they have a lot of immigrants. They have a lot of black men who have been in the prison system who get engaged like in the religion of Islam. And I think that these are all potential, these have the potential to cause people to become a terrorist in the future, and the CIA and the FBI is not telling us about all these different types of threats that are out there. And so I think that by this particular example, they want to try to get as many answers from this suspect as they can so that they can find out if there is some type of connection back to Russia or back to some foreign country.
Well, primarily Chechnya, because that's where the people are being trained that are the subversives and the people that are doing the things that you don't want to happen. Don't forget the Chechenian rebels were the ones that went into Russia, took over a movie theater filled with kids, and slaughtered them, actually, by setting off incendiary devices and things once the troops, Russian troops, started to come in. These people have no feeling. They have no remorse for what they do. They're radicalized, and they believe in what they are radicalizing about. And we're sitting up here not paying attention to, you know, on this situation and thinking that, oh, well, if we just leave these people alone, they'll leave us alone. Well, no, that's not going to just happen. These people, I feel sorry for the brothers that go to prison and then come to believe in Islam, because they have really nowhere to go.
But
nowhere
the reason
to go
why
that
happens
that.
Is because black men, when they get to prison, they have to have a way to protect themselves from, like, any type of rape or assault that may happen inside prison. So the only group that protects them are the Muslims. That's the reason why many of them come out and they're Muslim when they come out because they had to join that group inside prison. But also
right.
what's happening at many of the mosques in this area, you know, the people who are the leaders of the mosque, they tell the people who come to not discuss anything that's in regard to politics inside the mosque because they know that the FBI has started to place, like, different types of spies or, like, but the FBI has started to place, like, bugs inside the mosque to try to listen in on conversations. So, you know, these types of things are actively happening. So that's why I'm saying that the government is looking for wider plots because they know that they have a great deal of people who come from these different regions of the world inside the country now, and they have to watch and they have to watch all of these individuals now.
Well, no doubt about it. They have to watch everybody. But the thing is this goes to the basis of the whole entire argument that we have been having about radical Islam. And the one thing that they have not been doing is putting it in check. They're allowing parts of our country, just like up in Michigan, to institute pieces of Sharia law within governments of municipalities, which is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous for us in this country to allow that. We don't have any Sharia law here. We're not Muslims. And nor do I think we should allow that to happen. Okay, but the thing is we're going to pay a huge price for allowing it. And that's the point.
Well, the only reason why they were attempting to allow it because they have people who come from those regions of the world who wanted to have that alternative to the criminal justice system inside their cities. But I don't think it was never anything that would be considered to be allowed that, you know, like they would allow people to be sentenced under, like, any type of Sharia law. Like, I don't think that was an actuality to come about at all, really. I think that was something that was just talked about. But I don't think
Right outside of Detroit, they have a city, and if Tracy was here, she could give me the name. I forgot about it. But the thing is that I would say is this, that they have instituted already every day at so many times a day, the city stops and they bow down in prayer in this town in Michigan. So no, that's not something they're talking about. It's something that they're doing. And yes, these idiots in the Obama administration are talking about, well, you shouldn't be afraid of Sharia law. Well, why shouldn't you? Because Sharia law, I'll tell you one thing.
You also have people in the country who are Buddhists, who are, you know, people who are Buddhist, people who are Christian. You also have people who are Hindu. So if they implemented Sharia law, you know, they could only apply it but to one particular group. They couldn't apply it across the board.
That's not the point. They applied it already. They are doing it as we speak.
But
it's
they can only apply it to people who are Muslim. They can't apply it to people who are not Muslim.
It doesn't matter. If the doggone city shuts down, you're not doing anything, my brother. You understand that? If the city shuts down for prayer, you're not getting something at the bank.
A secular government, they can't apply any type of Sharia law to people who are not Muslim.
Oh, God. Well, understand that they're doing it, and you should have to worry about it. Okay? They're doing it. It's not about whether you should. It's not about whether they're allowed. They're doing it.
I mean, I have to see evidence of them doing it because
then
I don't.
This is the reason why you get put on mute. Then go find the situation of the city that I'm talking about, and I will mention it here within the next half hour. Okay? and I will let you know, and hopefully I'll get another caller that'll give me the name of that city now, that they're doing it. It's not about what evidence you have. I don't give a doggone about your evidence. The truth is, I've read the stories and I've seen it. Okay? Detroit is 3 hours from me. You have to understand. I said,
and you also have a lot of people who are of Arabic descent who live in the state of Michigan, so they're probably applying it to people who are Muslim, who are Arab.
They are applying it to the city. It doesn't matter whether you're of Muslim descent or not. They are making city law. Their council is made up of Muslims, and they are making the law. Do you understand that? No, do you understand
it? That is also against the federal constitution, sir.
Is it now?
That the government cannot support any religion.
Uh-huh. Now, that's exactly what I was just telling you. So now, with that in mind, I'm going to pay some bills. We'll be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. It doesn't matter about your evidence and what you're thinking and these things. What matters is what is going on at the time. Yes, the law says you're not allowed to rob banks, but guess what? People rob banks every single doggone day of the year. So I ask you once again, make sure that you have some facts.
But if you can provide a link.
506, you will be next when I come back
off
of paying the bill.
In the chat
afternoon
room,
Tracy and friends, Jeff and the chair.
Be right back
after these messages.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. And we're talking to you about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind as well. And we're trying to bring some parity to how we deal with this problem of Islam in America and how we deal with how we're going to handle whether they can do certain things here in this country or not. Somebody, Bill and Green Dog out of my chat room, told me the name of the city that I wanted to remember, which is Dearborn, Michigan, where they are instituting pieces of Sharia law. And do you know that under Sharia law, ladies and gentlemen, which is another reason why this country should be absolutely adamantly opposed, is because somebody writes, it takes four females to equal one male witness in a case. If my daughter shames my family, I have the right to kill her. All of these things are under Sharia. And believe you me, with the radicalization of Islam throughout the world, you're going to see it open itself up here on our shores, and not anytime in the future, right now. 330-506, you're in the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, friend.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Well, let me just say this. I don't care what these reports say. I can guarantee you that in the United States, there is not one courtroom, I don't care what the article says, that is applying Sharia law. I'll just tell you that right out, straight out. It's not happening. When judges take an oath, they take an oath to uphold the laws of the United States, the Constitution in that state. To suggest or have a reporter suggest that in the heavily Islamic populated area up near Dearborn that they're applying some sort of Sharia law just isn't the case. And if by some insane matter it is the case, I would be willing to go up there, and within a few days they will have that judge thrown out. It's just not possible. Believe me, you know, I've been there, your dad's been there. You're not, I don't care what the article says, and I welcome you in the audience to tell me, you are not, and this is new kindred, so I had a laugh when I hear it. Sharia law it's illegal to apply it to United States courts. It's a black and white deal. Why you're getting this information, I don't know.
Well, I hope that it isn't, my friend, and I really do, because I want to not believe that our country would be so stupid as to allow this. Go ahead.
As to your concern, let me say, you said a couple of interesting things, and you do say some things that other people won't come out and say, and I like that. Your concerns are justified. There could be a movement toward that way in certain areas. Also, there were some comments about prisoners. In the prison, it is not necessarily that African Americans gravitate toward Islam because of some sort of protection against physical harm. That's not it at all. It's more of an anti-American religion. And I could say that, as you know, with pretty good likelihood. I've been
right
to those meetings. Yeah, it's
sure
an anti-American message, which is even more disturbing. It is more radicalized than Farrakhan, some of the new things.
Yeah, Farrakhan's not so radical, really.
You know, I like some of the things. People think I'm crazy. I told my wife, I said, I like some of the things that Farrakhan was saying.
Absolutely.
He said some commonsensical things. Some things I've even adopted in my daily life, just some simple, basic things. But make no mistake about it, that is a heavy recruiting area. Now, I don't know if it's a more of an American thing as opposed to them trying to recruit jihadists, but it is anti-America. So in the jail, you will have the Christian section of African-Americans and white and so forth, Caucasians, but you will have 99% anti-American rhetoric blended into this form of American Islamic whatever it is. It's a hate message. It has nothing to do with religion. It's a total hatred of the United States.
You're talking about that which is preached in our prisons.
Yeah.
Or are you saying in general? Because in general, I guess they're very religious people. But, you know, here's the thing. And you know, I had a long-running argument yesterday on situations that they were saying that the Christians were responsible for killing people during the, you know, the Inquisition, this, that, and the other. And I tried to tell them, well, no, those weren't the real Christians, because in Catholicism, the Catholics co-opted Christianity and they Christianized the pagan faith, and more or less they blended the two faiths and they created this hybrid called Catholicism. Now, I know I get a lot of problems with some people out there because I know there's a lot of Catholics listening. And please, don't get me wrong. I do believe that the people that attend Catholic Church today are Christians. But in the beginning, I don't believe that those people that created that faith were, because there's too much paganism in the religion. Now, in how they practice it, and that's why I say. Go ahead.
The problem with what you're saying is that, and I was actually, I've read, in the last 6 months, I've read heavily trying to prepare a thesis on exactly what you're saying. And the problem is you're really speaking at an intellectual level that might be way above the common understanding. You are preaching historical accuracy with the Roman Catholic Church and the pagan influence, and as opposed to the early Christians. I know what you're saying. And unless
right
you have a real understanding of how all this came down, it's going to be hard for people to understand. That's why if there's one thing I hate about America, not to say, oh, I'm, you know, Mr. Smarty Pants, because I'm not. But unless you have basic understanding by reading books and reading history like you do, and I know you're well-read, then it's hard for people to understand what you're saying. And that's a shame, because you're making some really interesting points based on the origins of Christianity and about the battles in Jerusalem during the Crusades and just who they were, and really the it was more like a political thing than a spiritual thing when they were doing that. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I wish more people would read up or you could refer them. But people have to start picking up their game, especially on this show, if they want to really get the most out of it, because you're really into some deep things. And you got to have that basic understanding. You know, I just happened to be studying that. Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. And here's what I'll tell you. That's why I'll say this. I understand it because when I became a born again believer, a person that believed in Jesus Christ, I was pushed into immediately by some teachers that said, don't just take what somebody's teaching you, but go and dig it out yourself and find out whether the things be true. And that was a group of people, I think it was the Bereans, that did just that, you know, at the time, you know, Paul was preaching Christ, and that they sought to find out the truth. We need to find out the truth about everything that we're dealing with. We need to find out the truth about news stories. We need to talk about the truth about what the government is and is not doing. And those are the things that we're not paying attention to. We get taken for granted and washed under the rug when you speak out and you say something and be, oh, they're just crazy. No, we're not just crazy. You know, we did background. We studied it. You know, you may not like Glenn Beck, but his argument about this whole thing, with last week, is a very good argument. Now, whether it's true or not remains to be seen. It has to be borne out. But the thing is he has a heck of a compelling argument about the government allowing one of these guys to go free. Go ahead.
You make some great points. You're right about that point, and you're right about we have to question news. I mean, I don't trust anything I hear coming from the government. And that's not an extreme position. Look, you have to have
not.
A critical thinking mind.
Right.
You do have a critical thinking mind, and a lot of people on your show. But let's face it, Jeff, the average guy, they still are like stuck in the 50s. They accept as gospel truth. And I'm not saying to be a conspiracy guy. I'm just saying what you're hearing is a lot of orchestrated things. And, you know, I support Obama, but I see what he's doing. I see what he's doing. I don't like it. And for people to just go along with the flow and accept everything what the government says, I mean, you literally, for your own survival, have to be an inquisitive mind. And if you're dealing with matters of spirituality, unless, you know, I'm not patronizing you, but you know, you have such a high level of understanding as to the history of Christianity, unless you're on that level, it's hard to relay your points to the callers, even though you have the audience is much more intelligent than some of the other things. So, you know, I know what you're saying about all that.
Sure.
At any rate.
Well, but now you were talking about some things yesterday that I was a little interested in, and I was having some technical difficulties here. And
me too.
Yeah, I hear you. But you know, this whole thing of the going into houses and things like that, I feel very uneasy about that. In that, I think that they did a practice run of what they needed to do in the case of something bigger, because I don't think that they needed to do all that they did to get these two guys.
Well, you know,
I think it was overkill.
You remind me of my father always used to say, hey, you know, they are on maneuvers, they are trying things out, and they were doing many different things, not just looking for one person. Just think about it. God forbid, if we believe they needed all that manpower, assault helicopters landing in Best Buy parking lots for one
right.
kid. What if there was 20? Now, sad to say, the Constitution has so many holes in it, so many exceptions as far as the Fourth Amendment and being secure in your persons. You know, they went and they were on an agenda. And I, you know, call me a conspirator, but I'm not stupid. If they went in those homes and they saw a gun, okay, and it wasn't registered or whatever, saw something suspicious, they don't need a warrant. They're in hot pursuit. I mean, there's a million exceptions. They were
right.
Looking, you know, they were there for a reason, and I am concerned about that too. You're not going to tell me, and you know, Jeff, you've probably been to Boston. You're not going to shut a whole town down.
That's not a small place.
I could go and get Ty White, maybe Buster if he's in shape, a couple guys downtown, a couple guys that I used to work with when I was at the Sheriff's Department. I did internal affairs.
Uh-huh.
I could put together a crew to go of homicide detectives to go get the guy. We had military. We had military trucks. We had military equipment. We had military officers. And people say, oh, this is crazy. When you put these contingents together, you have CIA officers buried in there.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Hold on.
Someone dropped
hold
off
on.
Two shooters.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Russian connection, you better believe they had CIA people involved in that. But I have a very good friend that's a nurse in Boston on Facebook. And, I asked her, I said, so-and-so, what in God's name are they doing for this one kid? I know he's dangerous. I know quite a bit about Chechnya. I was actually going to go over there following a case regarding the murder of a human rights worker. I know the dynamics there. But, Jeff, I too share what you and Tracy were saying, and it echoed what my dad said. There was another agenda there. You and I both know it. I mean, they kept saying, We're going to hit every house. We're 60% done. We're 70% done. You mean you're going to hit every house? And you know what? Try to say, oh, no, you're not coming in. What a laugh that is. You need a warrant. Go get a warrant. They don't need a warrant. They do not need a warrant. Under the Patriot Act, under exceptions to the Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely.
They
don't need anything anymore. They can indefinitely hold you. And that's why I was really... really shocked why they came out here already and said, well, we believe they're acting alone and so we're just going to, we're going to do whatever and it's okay. We just think that this, this is a incident that's not very, nothing we have to worry about. I think you're crazy.
It's crazy. Here's another thing. You brought it up. And there's another talk show guy, I won't mention his name, who's on before you. And if you were to tell him that the government can independently and arbitrarily, under the Patriot Act and under the recent Department of Defense legislation, they can make a determination whether you're an American citizen or not, that if you pose some sort of terroristic threat, they don't have to charge you. You don't have any rights to due process. You don't get a trial. You don't get bail. You will be hauled off, and I know where they take them.
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely, and guess where you go? You go to the Supermax in Florence, Colorado. It's an underground prison. You go down. You have no human contact. And I'm glad you mentioned that. This is the world we're living in, and they make those determinations. So you can scream, oh, what about my constitutional rights? I want to call a lawyer. Not if they make that determination, you're not.
Not at all. You're not getting anything.
And I'll say one more thing, and I'll shut up, because I hate to hear.
Yeah, I got a 334, you'll be next.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Sticks, okay? I've come to appreciate Sticks in a way. And jury nullification. I read a faith-based, I read a faith-based explanation of why we need jury nullification. And how I got it, my son just tossed it over to me. And, I read it and I said, this makes a lot of sense coming from a faith-based. But people need to know, go ahead and try to argue jury nullification, that the jury doesn't have to follow the law as the court instructs them. That's just not the case. And people are under the impression that it still is. So, you know, there's some scary things going on, and I just my daughter is over here screaming at me to get off. So anyway, keep up the provocative talk, because we're not getting that anywhere else.
As long as we can, my friend.
Oh, okay. You take care.
334, you're in the air.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. I just got off the phone with a friend of mine from undergrad. He's at Harvard now, and
yeah.
He was just telling me a lot of different stuff that's taking place up there as far as being locked down. When they were locked down, how he has friends that were riding bikes and got thrown off their bikes, put on the ground, face down, handcuffed, and taken to jail because they were riding a bike. My thing with this is we deserve what we get if we sit and see our rights being taken and we don't stand up as a people. You know, I see people all the time make these cases that, okay, well, there's nothing you can do. And true enough, but, I mean, you should be at least prepared, because when stuff like this takes place, if they lock them folks down for three, he said he locked them down again when it snowed with the governor said the same thing, and they were taking people to jail, confiscating their cars when it snowed, when they had a snowstorm a while ago. So it's anytime anything happens now, the modus operandi is to lock the city down, take people against their rights. And I heard John McCain's now arguing to have this guy stripped of his rights and sent to Guantanamo, because John McCain may be complicit in some of this operation stuff as well. So, and then the Republicans, this is the problem I have. Yesterday they pushed that CISPA stuff, well, the other day, Thursday, they pushed that CISPA bill through, which basically gives them the right to all of our private information on the internet.
Right.
And so now you're going to be a terrorist. Like, if they log this show, everybody that calls this show can be called a terrorist. I'm a terrorist now because I disagree with the government. I was going to get a job for the Southern Poverty Law Center, which I probably would have quickly got fired from here. But I would have, because I it's been hard for me to keep my mouth shut. But just some of the stuff that they showed me, like as far as what is the enemy number one, evangelical Christians, people that believe Jesus is coming back, top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting against, because they say we fight against people's civil rights, so we're terrorists. That's their logic. This stuff is not about some kid, 19-year-old, blowing stuff. I don't even think that's what it was about. I think they were involved. I think it turned on them. And I think that, like, the police chief was on the news, and he said, mm-hmm. okay, well, they pulled up to the roadblock, got out, started shooting. We got in the gunfight. They got back into the car, both of them, started riding towards the blockade, got back out. The older brother, got back out, started shooting, walking up to him like kamikaze. Then he runs out of bullets. They get up and tackle him. They didn't shoot him now. They got up and tackled him. That's what they're saying. He fell. You're going to tackle this guy and then put him in handcuffs while the other brother's just sitting there. He was shooting too, so he's just going to sit there and watch you just tackle and handcuff his brother and not shoot you. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Then he ran over his brother.
Well, I need to see that account, because, see, that's not the account I'm hearing. I'm not telling you it's not true. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I understand. Well, what I was told, what I got off the news was that they more or less were in the shootout, and they told them to, you know, to drop their weapons or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the brother came out and started shooting more, you know, at them. And they shot back. They returned fire. And so now he falls on the ground, and his brother just gets in the car. I mean, just moves over in the driver's seat and drives over his brother and out and gets away. Now, I don't know what's true either way.
Okay, so he got in the car and they didn't chase him up.
No, he was in the car in the first place.
No, I'm talking about what I'm saying.
I
find that hard to believe. You in a gunfight, you've been looking for this guy. He gets in the car and y'all just stand there and let him drive off. Is that, you see what I'm saying? It's almost like And then, it, like, when you look, it just, the story just does not logistically make sense. You know how cops are. They all think they're Rambo anyway. One of them would have gotten in the car and tried to chase him like he Colin Farrell or somebody in a movie, trying to chase him through the city. Come on, he wouldn't have got away.
I don't see how, I don't see how that car got away anywhere. But the thing is just like in the movies, you see all this remarkable car shot up and nobody in the car shot, you know.
Well, one thing, the boat incident, they were saying they were shooting rubber bullets on that. Now, rubber bullets are usually for crowd control. Why are they shooting rubber bullets at the guy?
That makes sense. That would make sense. Because they want to bring him in.
But shooting rubber bullets? What is that?
I know
this is secondhand of my friend. I just asked him. He actually said he saw the boat. It's been shot with holes in it.
Right.
They riddled that place. It is destroyed. It went all through that thing. He said he shot
that's
for a
why
long
I don't
time.
Think it was no rubber bullets, because I don't think rubber bullets will go through the side of a boat.
Exactly. But I don't even think that the rubber bullets make sense in that circumstance. You shoot rubber bullets to repel people. You don't shoot rubber bullets. What you trying to do? Oh, and all of a sudden, now his trachea is hurting. Something happened to his trachea. He can't talk no more now. So,
somebody,
I mean, come on, man. Come on.
I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. Don't go nowhere. Let's see what else we got on this. Local caller, you're on air.
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff.
Yeah, hey.
You know, if you're going to concoct a conspiracy theory, you got to have your facts straight.
There you go.
The two initial officers was on today's show. When they thought they robbed that store, that's why they went. They went over there and saw about that. They thought it was those two terrorists, right?
Right.
They were the initial gunfight. It was two cops. Well, not 52. They had a gunfight. The youngest brother pulled over, ran over his brother, and got away.
Mm-hmm.
Cops were coming, but they wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
Come on, man. You guys was on the Today Show. I saw that. I wasn't even watching the Today Show.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I wasn't trying to say that. What I'm saying is that our media has put out all types of different stories. We don't have these guys on video setting up any bags. We don't have. So we want to just believe the narrative that they give us. I'm just saying don't do that. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying there are holes. I'm not saying I know the whole plot and I can tell you the whole thing from start to finish, but I'm just telling you that there have been conflicting media reports. There was a guy supposed to have been taken naked, but now they didn't take him. Like, well, who was that? We don't know. I saw that with my own eyes.
Let me ask you one question. Give me one situation where you didn't have conflicting stories.
Yeah, what do you mean? That is true. Well, I mean, in any major incident like this, you get these stupid behind news people reporting things that they just anybody tells them, so they can be first. I said it first. It's me. I'm number one.
And so
therefore, you get all these crazy reports.
Let me ask you this. If you're going to ask me that question, so you're saying that the government doesn't lie to us? Is that what you're saying, that the government don't want to try to lie to
people? No. He's not saying that at all.
I mean, that's what it sounds like he's trying to say, that all. That I'm just like just going with some hearsay and conjecture instead of really having the facts. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Doc.
Because we have that I told the story first mentality, just like Jeff trying to tell you. They'll say anything. When the little brother down there in Florida got killed, first time I heard that story, he was 8. 4 days later, he was a teenager.
yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, that's what's wrong. I didn't like that being in the military when you show a war with blow-by-blow details.
Exactly.
Because I was on the M1 tank. Every time we went somewhere, they said, we coming. And I was in Germany in the 80s. When they was blowing up stuff. I was in Berlin the weekend they blew that bar up.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this. Can I ask you a question? And this is something that that's known now. When they first came out, when Martin Luther King got shot, they said that the government involved. And no, they said no, the guy acted alone, right? But now, I think it was in 1998, they settled out of court because there was just too much evidence showing that they were involved. Right?
Well, of course. My thing is this.
Like, and a lot of times when we go in the military, it trains you to accept just what people tell you. I ain't trying to take them no jab against it. I don't even know you, so I'm not trying to say anything about it.
Don't worry about that. We all grown up here.
Yeah, I'm saying, objectively speaking, you look at certain things and you just see holes. There are a lot of holes in this whole Boston situation that they acted alone, that, you know, it just sounds crazy. It's just, you know, now, could the media be lying and some of this stuff be just noise being made because they want to be hot? I agree with you. That does happen. But I do think that we have to listen. We can't just throw it out and say, okay, now the same guys come, just because this side's coming out and they cleaning up their story now and saying this, we just buy it outright and say, well, wait a minute now.
Well, I mean, nobody's buying this? Nothing.
Why do you want this guy's an American citizen, and now all of a sudden they want his rights stripped. That shows a lot of guilt.
I don't think they do because they charge him as an American citizen,
so he hasn't been Mirandized yet. They're saying he was
Mirandized yesterday. Yeah, they Mirandized him yesterday.
What?
But that's...
Lord.
Yes.
See, that's the thing. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know where this stuff coming from. They just said that
this morning he wasn't. Okay, well, then that goes back to one of those mixed things that you're getting. And that's what we're trying to tell you. We're getting a whole bunch of stuff that ain't true and is true, so we're going to have to sort it out at the end. But now, do I trust the government in the meantime? No.
The problem is, the government can come out and say, okay, let's get our plan. They come, they huddle up.
Yes,
okay, this is
can.
The story. Then they come out and they dish it, and they fill out, they try to fill as many holes as they can.
Hold on, Alabama.
But hold on, man. See, the first thing I would correct you on, you say when you go in the military, they make you believe everything you tell them. That's not true. You take an oath to follow the orders of those that are sworn above you.
No matter what.
But
okay,
that's
what I'm talking about.
No. At all times, I'm not doing that.
Well, Eddie, that is true. Hold on one second. Unlisted caller, you're in the air.
I think that's me, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to correct the brother that said about those rubber bullets. They did not want to kill this individual.
Hold on.
Where's
you might have to call me back, bro.
Okay, I hear that noise. You think you're coming from
here?
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I got you.
No, they had orders to try to capture them alive. They wanted to find out whether anybody else was involved.
That's what I was saying makes sense.
That makes sense,
but then why were they shooting real bullets?
They was not shooting real bullets.
Oh, okay. All right.
They were shooting rubber bullets. They was not intending to kill him. Go ahead.
Yeah. I agree with you that makes sense, and we might get interrupted by the news, so don't just hold on until after the news plays.
But, Jeff, didn't you say they were shooting real bullets, too?
Yeah, they shot real bullets because they shot the boat up. You could see that the boat is full of bullet holes.
They don't know if he was shooting. He may have been shooting.
That's another thing. They said he might have been shooting out of the boat. So, what you gonna do, man? You don't know. Well, do your thing, man, but you don't know because you weren't there. So neither one of us know. But, no, I don't trust the government at all. And do I put it past them to be involved in this? No, I don't put it past them.
Okay,
but
now,
I just
Jeff,
want
to... Go ahead. And one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, they come out there at first. They said the individuals had dark skin. You remember that?
Hey, yeah, I know. But yeah, I do remember that. But can you wait till after the news?
Yeah,
right?
I'll wait. But don't forget, I'm here
okay.
now.
I won't.
It is from ABC News. Ontario Aldinger. FBI officials will be on Capitol Hill today with a progress report into the investigation of the Boston Marathon bombings. ABC's Vic Ratner is there.
Top FBI officials will brief key Senate and House members behind closed doors amidst growing questions about whether the FBI missed danger signs before the bombings. Appearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano said the government did track Tamerlan Tsarnaev's trip to Russia despite the airline misspelling his name, but had no reason to detain him.
Meanwhile, the hospital where Johar Tsarnaev is being treated says his condition has been upgraded to fair. A team of investigators is also in the nation where Tsarnaev and his family emigrated from years ago, and his parents have since returned.
A team from the U.S. Embassy in Moscow is here in Dagestan to interview the parents of the Boston bombing suspects, an embassy official told ABC News. The official said Russian authorities have been cooperating with an FBI investigation into the twin attacks, which authorities believe were perpetrated by Tamerlan Tsarnaev and his younger brother, Johar. Their mother told ABC News on Monday that she encouraged Tamerlan to deepen his embrace of Islam. Investigators want to know how he became radicalized. The mother, meanwhile, says her sons are only guilty of being Muslim. Kirit Radia, ABC News, Mahachkala, Dagestan.
More teens are misusing drugs, especially prescription medications. A survey by the partnership at drugfree.org says parental attitudes are part of the problem.
Parents as well believe this must be safer. Parents believe that if their child's abusing stimulants, that might help them get better grades in school, even if the kid doesn't have ADHD.
Partnership Steve Peserb says a lot of teens believe that prescription drugs are safer than street drugs. Two senators urging the White House to postpone the furloughs of air traffic controllers. They say the delays caused by reduced staffing could give Congress a chance to find a fix for the sequester cuts. This is ABC News.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Chew himself raw.
Sticky, gooey, smelly.
She scratched incessantly.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
I heard about Dynavite on this radio station.
Right. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil,
the seaweed, the kelp,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days later, my dog's ear problems were cured.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
His gas was better.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
She has gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
My vet was completely blown away.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
The flooding that's already making life miserable in parts in the Midwest could get worse with more rain and snow in the forecast. ABC Scott Goldberg has the story.
It could be a dicey day with Rivercrest predictions in flux as rain falls from Oklahoma to Michigan, where the Chippewa River came inside Jason McCrandall's home.
I'm guessing carpet damage, some of the drywall type stuff is damaged.
People are more nervous south of there watching the Mississippi and its tributaries.
We've already had several levees, both on the Mississippi as well as the Illinois River, over top. Fortunately, thank the Lord, nobody has been killed yet.
Major General John Peabody with the Army Corps of Engineers. The Illinois River is headed toward record crests. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
French lawmakers have legalized same-sex marriage. The vote comes after months of bruising debate and street protests, which brought hundreds of thousands to Paris. The nation's justice minister says the first weddings could take place as soon as June. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Are any of these symptoms familiar?
Introducing a new, faster way for your business to communicate. AT&T Enhance Push to Talk. Get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3 at att.com/enhanceptt3. A great new choice for business. You push to talk. AT&T pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the 2013 Ford F-150 has an available EcoBoost engine that delivers the best combination of towing and fuel economy. See your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer or visit drive1ohio.com.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. He's Sweet Jack, he's Sweet Jack, he's SweetJack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks.
Know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
Obama gives this speech and he drones on and on and on about the future, about his vision. State of the Union speech. He's talking about the future. He's painting a picture. He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes, if we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies, if we just had more, paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're talking about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind as well. Come on in and give us a call here at 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229 and voice your view. I want to make sure that you get it in and we hear what you're going to say. Now go ahead, unlisted caller, okay. Then local caller, you'll be next.
Okay, Jeff, like I said, people may have forgotten. When it first happened, somebody, I don't know, they used the phrase that it was dark-skinned, okay?
Right.
And he spoke a foreign tongue, you know what I mean? Where did that come from? I heard that from CNN and this other racist creep, what's his name, Savage? I don't even listen to it. I just happened to turn the radio on. He was
But I listen to, you know, as much as I can't stand Chris Matthews, I still listen to him. He's a 24-karat idiot, but I still listen to him. So I hear them say stuff like, I hope it looked like the way the bomb blew up, it was a conservative that did it. This stuff is crazy. But go ahead, finish your point.
Well, anyway, you say you don't like Chris Matthews. I love the guy.
No. Yeah,
anyway,
I know you
that's
do.
Our opinion, Jeff. Okay?
Yep.
You can love who you want, like who. I love the
thing. I love everybody.
I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't listen to this Savage. They forever demonizing our president. And anyway, Jeff, let's forget about Republican or Democrat, okay? And just we're the Americans, okay? But that That upset me when I heard them. CNN, supposed to be a respectable station. Here, one of the commentators said, yeah, he got dark skin. See, when they say dark skin, there's dark skin people all over the world, especially here in this country, right? But right to me, they were race baiting. That was done. Had that been a person of color, that'd have been riots. But you know how they. You better believe it.
I don't think so.
Jeff, look. Go ahead.
The reason why I don't think it would have been those people talking. You're correct about it. I'm not denying what you just said. But what I will say is this: if it was a person of color, I don't think that it would have been riots at all. I think they would have caught them just like they caught these guys, and it would have been over. Because black people are marginalized in this country; they don't have any power, they don't have any political power, and they don't have any physical power. So whatever happens, whatever some black people do, it's those people that are the ones that are the problem. They'll get them, and that'll be it. Because they have you controlled.
Okay,
you're not going nowhere.
Okay, but here's the thing. You notice when you know a black person's involved, you notice what they start calling. They're animals.
Yep.
How many times have you heard that word when it's a black that then did something to a white? The word
many
animal.
Times.
I haven't heard that yet coming from this media or nobody else. First, who was the young man, blah, blah, this and that. He's Caucasian. This is still, we may live in the greatest country on the planet, but this is still one of the racist countries on the planet.
No doubt.
And I don't consider myself, I don't hate white folks, but I've been around them long enough.
I don't hate anybody, because I've been done wrong by everybody. So.
Well, I have to. Like I told you, Jeff, I was there in 1963. I'll repeat that. I was there in Washington, D.C., there to march with Martin Luther King. I was a young man. I told you I was around pretty close to 35 years old. I have seen myself on them old newsreels quite a few times. Looked a lot better than I did now, you know what I mean? but like I said, when Martin Luther King got killed, the FBI they had him tracked. And the moment, right after they announced that he had been shot, the FBI said, a man on the run. That was that James Earl Ray, right?
Right.
And how did he get away so quick? Hell, he was out of the country in no time.
How did he get away and they knew who he was right away?
They knew. J. Edgar Hoover hated Martin Luther King. Know what I mean?
Right.
Well, like I said, he used that phrase one time, and Martin Luther King was the most dangerous Negro, that's what they called us at the time.
Yes, sir.
In the United States.
Dressing in dresses.
Huh? He was running around in dresses. But I don't think he had no love for black people, period. But they called Martin Luther King, they called him everything but a child of God. He's a womanizer, he's a communist, or he's this, he's all. And like I said, I'm a political animal, Jeff. I'm retired, and I've been a child. I read. See, a lot of our folks don't read, white or black. They don't read. But I do both of them. I read books. I'm an avid reader. And I know what I be talking about. And I'm Navy from the WW2 era. And one other thing I wanted to, Jeff, I hear you say, what do you call them, the GI Bill?
Yeah.
The liberal thing. Well, your dad probably.
No. I benefited from the GI Bill. You don't hear me saying any such thing. I'm not with this that we shouldn't have certain social programs.
Yeah.
I think that there are social programs that we should have. However, we abuse a lot of these programs.
Who
and
are we?
Welfare,
when you say we,
I'm talking
who?
About the people, the people of the United States of America. I'm saying we. Look, I talk to everybody on this show. I don't talk to just black people or just white people. I talk to all people. And the United States, that system is abused. The SSI system is abused. People getting on the SSI that are very able-bodied, they can work, they can do all type of things, but they get a doctor to go and write them up, and then they get SSI, and they don't have to work again in their lives. So I understand, but we need to change the way that we implement some of these programs. GI Bill, if you went into that service and you swore that you would uphold that Constitution and protect the United States to your death, you deserve to get the GI Bill. You deserve to get veterans treatment, et cetera, et cetera. Because you put yourself on the line. But now, people don't believe that. That's okay. That ain't me.
Okay, but Jeff, now here's the thing. That GI Bill, that's what made the middle class. Okay? That's how your father and these other attorneys and doctors and carpenters and whatnot, that's what got them started. That GI Bill.
This is true.
Don Hanna used to, at first, what did he call him? Amalam Chaser? I remember him before that. I met him, man. He's a friend of mine because I was with a group they called the Independent Negro Voters Association, a man named Jack Thorne. You ever heard of him?
No,
Gary
but
father. You know Gary.
Yeah,
Thorne.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was with the AFL-CIO, a staff man, and he the one organized.
Look, don't go nowhere because I got about 3-4 callers holding on here. I got to get to.
Right on, I'll hold on, Jeff. But let me get back to you.
All right, your line is open. So you know if you want to ask something, you can. Local caller, you are on the air. You are in there.
Let me ask him a question.
Yeah.
What did he think about Ralph Abernathy snitching on Martin Luther King in his book?
Oh, what did I think of Abernathy? I don't know what was wrong with that man. I mean,
well, could he have been right though?
He was no. Wait a minute. I think he was more of a Judas. What you call Judas?
But did he tell the truth?
I don't think so. Oh, he admitted he told some things that he probably shouldn't have about him being a womanizer and a few other things. Hey, So how many womanizers is there in government and anywhere else?
I just wondered what your opinion was.
We're not trying to justify one way or another.
See, and the thing here, Martin Luther King, when he first got started, there was even black ministers that was telling him he was a troublemaker.
Yeah, it ain't like that's the first. He's the first black minister that had an affair.
No, it wasn't. But that's what J. Edgar Hoover tried to, he wrote that letter to Dr. King's wife. It was a recording or something.
Let us not forget that it was Bobby Kennedy that gave the right to J. Edgar Hoover to do that to Martin Luther King. Let's not forget that one.
Right. You were right on that, Jeff. And he regretted, but here was the thing. J. Edgar Hoover had something on the Kennedys. They were womanizers. He had something on everybody while he was running around with his dress when he got it home. So, no, I didn't care too much for Abernathy when he did that. I lost a lot of respect for him. Whether he's telling the truth or not.
The grave.
Yeah, he's going to sell books.
Jeff,
and make
I see glasses half full.
Okay.
You know what your show did for me today?
What's that?
I got a speech class, and our final next week is verbal. And I have to make a compelling debate about anything.
Wow.
That nonsense that Cat was talking from Alabama, actually, it was some truth to it.
Absolutely.
That's a good argument. That's my argument. How they did the door searches.
Glenn Beck's challenge to the president was very compelling. And so if you take a look at, go online and take a look at what evidence Glenn Beck came up with, why he was saying what he was saying, you'll say, well, I understand that. You'll say, I understand that. But I got another guy on here that's going to make a crack here. 412, you're in the air.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon,
like
Barry White, little brother.
I called in to bring your attention and your caller's attention. Your viewer, your listeners. This whole bombing thing might be bigger than we know about because. Hello, you hear that? Hello?
Go ahead, man. I got you. I had to turn the sound down for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. But, yeah, because here in Orlando, there's bomb threats down here. They've already closed down at least four different businesses. Evacuated some places, roadblocks right down here. And I'm just wondering if it's just a copycat thing. Or if maybe there's a more orchestrated thing going on that's, you know, it just hasn't broken into the news yet. So I was just wondering, you know, if there's anybody else in any other major cities or urban areas or whatever that's witnessing the same thing, because they're locking down parts of Orlando right now on the east side of town because of bomb threats. There was four suspicious packages in very high high dense areas, what's called Waterford Lakes over there, in the shopping areas, and so the bomb squad is out there now just trying to dismantle it, you know. So I don't know if you heard of anything else going
I did not. So they actually have a bomb they're dismantling?
There's suspicious packages that the bomb squad is handling now. It hasn't been ruled a bomb yet, but they think it's a bomb, you know. But it just broke today, this morning. So I don't know what the results of it is yet. But there were a few packages, you know, suspicious packages just dropped, you know, in major shopping areas and stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. South Carolina, you're on there.
I'm not surprised.
Neither am I. I thought we'd have a wave of things going on. And I put that out on my Facebook yesterday.
But my question is, what's going to be the reaction? You know, I too got a whiff of what Beck said. A lot of people say a lot of crazy things, or Glenn Beck says a lot of crazy things, but it's kind of hard to call the man a fanatic when he's got facts. You know,
that's what I'm
really
talking
hard
about.
To do that.
Hey, if you can believe that 9/11 was Bush's fault, then you can sure enough get to what Glenn Beck has brought up about this particular situation. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm just saying the argument is compelling, and that you need to really take it with a grain of salt and look into it. But right now, we're going to have to pay some bills south. We're going to be right back. Tracy will be back with me here in a minute, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Eric here.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life.
1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Someone dropped off two shooting victims at St. Elizabeth Health Center in Youngstown yesterday afternoon. Police said one was in critical condition, the other was in stable condition. They believe the shooting took place on East Boston Avenue near Avondale Avenue. No identities were released. A man who spent a quarter century in prison for a 1986 murder is accused of attacking a 21-year-old woman in Youngstown. 57-year-old James Gooden did not enter a plea yesterday in municipal court. His preliminary hearing is coming up next Monday. A teenager who shot and killed three students in a Northeast Ohio school cafeteria has appealed his life sentence. The court-appointed attorney for 18-year-old T.J. Lane filed the appeal last week with the 11th Ohio District Court of Appeals in Warren. The brief filing also cited the decision moving his case to adult court in Chardon. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
And now, Crestview Auto Body presents The Secret Conversations of Deer.
So, back from car baiting again, Mr. Daredevil?
Yep, but that's not why I do it, though.
This ought to be good. Why do you jump in front of cars?
The signs.
What signs?
Those insulting signs.
What's wrong now?
Those deer crossing signs are an insult to all self-respecting deer. I don't look like that. You don't look like that. And what's with this leaping pose? We're not always leaping.
So that's why you're jumping in front of cars?
I'm not just jumping in front of cars. I'm taking a stand against the man. Oh, here comes another one. Join me in the fight!
Crestview Auto Body doesn't really know why that deer jumped in front of your car, but we do know how to fix it after, with the area's most expert collision repair. Crestview Auto Body, like it never happened, with locations in New Waterford, Salem, and Calcutta.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
What's happening today at WeatherTight?
WeatherTight. Marianne, you know the temperature is going to be right where WeatherTight likes it, and we're doing some great, great installs today. We install in all types of weather, too. And we do it all for you at WeatherTight with our new WeatherTight windows, siding, roofing, kitchen cabinet refacing, entry and patio doors, and financing available for every budget. Right now, all WeatherTight is spring savings special at 25% off. That's 25% off on anything you get from WeatherTight windows. And eligible for the energy tax credit because they're all Energy Star approved. Senior military discounts, all products made in the USA. And we're so sure that you'll fall in love with WeatherTight. If you only need one window, that's what we'll do for you and protect the prices on the remaining windows in your house for up to 4 years. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers. So pick up the phone and call 1-800-821-8483. That's 821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or a house full, Mrs. Mervin, the WeatherTight family guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Am I Tracy or am I Jeff?
I've been Tracy all morning, so you can be who you want to be on this show.
Okay, I'll be
Tracy. You know, we don't discriminate There's no gender problems here. We can.
No. Okay. Before I go too much further, I want to announce. I've got a guest coming on. He's on the line and he's waiting for me to pull him up. And his name is Jerome Corsi, and he is the author of Bad Samaritans. And we're gonna get with him in just a moment. He has a wonderful book, and I would recommend that you go to Amazon.com. You would go online to WMD. Or you can go, I think you can go to, you can just Google it and find it, and he can tell us a little bit more about where you can actually find it the easiest place for you to find it, whether it be Barnes & Noble. But it's a wonderful book, especially for those of us who have issues with what's going on in our marketplace. But before I do that, I want to let everyone know on Thursday. I feel like I'm in church now. Let everybody say Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday, April 25th, which is day after tomorrow at 5:30, from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Linmar Strategy Studio, downtown Youngstown at 16 Wick Avenue on the fourth floor. They are going to be having an East Meets West networking and magnet mogul and entrepreneurs session. And they want you to come down. And they want you to – it's free to the public. All you got to do is go. But they would like you to RSVP so that they will have enough of everything for everyone. So please – I'm going to tomorrow, Chauncey Hilson with MyCap is going to be with us from, I think, 12 until 1, and he's going to talk to us a whole lot more about the details of what's going on downtown. But it's a networking with magnet moguls and entrepreneurs, getting your cash to flow. It's going to be on Thursday, April the 25th, from 5:30 to 8 on the fourth floor at 16 Wick, which is the corner of Commerce and Wick Avenue.
Wick Avenue, the old Dollar Bank building.
Yeah, the old Dollar Bank building. And for you to RSVP, you can call 330-746-1109, or you can RSVP at eastwest@linmarstrategies.com. And some beautiful downtown Youngstown.
Beautiful.
Beautiful downtown Youngstown. The number here. It's 347-945-5229, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. And Jeff and I are here in the studio, and I have Jerome Corsi, who is an author. And hey, Jerome, how are you?
Good, Tracy. How are you?
I am excited to have you with me.
Thank you. Great
I'm excited
to have
you with me.
Thank you very much.
I have the Obama Nation.
Yes.
And I've read that one. And I have this new one, and I'm so pleased to hear you talk about this because I don't think we understand what's going on in our marketplace in America today. You want to tell us a little bit about your book and why you wrote it?
I've been concerned for years, but I did my dissertation even in Harvard years ago on First Amendment, and I've been very concerned with the attempt of the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, to remove God from the American scene, public square and the public schools, and also the attack on the traditional family, abortion, same-sex marriage, now even supporting pedophilia in court, which the ACLU has been doing. And I think this goes back to the founding of the ACLU. It was founded by a group of very committed socialists, even communists, and people don't realize that for its entire history, the ACLU has been hostile to the Judeo-Christian tradition and traditional families, and it's done some fundamental changes in the American culture, which our founding fathers warned if we lost our Judeo-Christian roots, we would lose our liberty, and I think our founding fathers were right.
Now, wait a minute. See, people think the ACLU is this great organization that brings us all together in a harmonious, unifying utopia.
Right. That's certainly the public relations the ACLU likes to put out. They like to represent themselves as an organization that defends liberty. But in the process, in the two areas where I focus on, removing God from the American public, including public schools, and attacking the traditional family, the ACLU has been following a very radical socialist agenda, an atheist agenda, that I'm concerned is going to take us back into a loss of liberties and a return to a form of paganism we haven't seen since the ancient world.
Now, see, when you talk like that, people think that we're going, and they think that we have gone off our rockers. I tend to agree with what you're saying. I think what you're saying is so very, very real, and you see it every day with the erosion of the morals of America.
And if we just take specific instances, I mean, I go back to the history and go through cases, but look at the public schools today. In the public schools, you cannot have any mention of God. If a teacher puts a Bible on a desk, even that Bible is used in private personal prayer, the Bible is objectionable. It can't be seen in public in the public school. If a student comes in, a young child with a Valentine on Valentine's Day, and the Valentine says, "Jesus loves me," that child's probably in trouble, and so are the parents. Or if a football coach at a public school, before a high school football game, says a prayer with the team, that coach is probably going to be reprimanded and may lose their job. I mean, we've completely eliminated God, and we're in the process of it, totally, from every aspect of public schools. And we're doing the same in the public square. You can't have a Christmas nativity scene. You can't have a Ten Commandments in public property in front of a courthouse. And these are cases, all of which the ACLU has pressed going back since the 1920s.
I know that you've probably noticed this, and I'll say this out loud. I look at MSNBC every now and then, and they have these little, I don't know what, these little moments of non-clarity moments by their commentators.
Yes.
And I say non-clarity because they send messaging that is very, very hurting to the American fabric. And they're subliminal. And I watched Al Sharpton and him put down, he was giving a quote in the middle of this pledge, but he left out "One Nation Under God."
Right.
And I know you've probably seen that.
Yes, yes. And, the "One Nation Under God" has been, it's again the type of inclusion of God that the ACLU will probably persist in attacking until they remove it. The same as "In God We Trust," which is on the coinage of the United States, and it's a motto that is in many, even carved into many buildings in the United States, "In God We Trust." Again, it's a reference to God that the ACLU wants removed. The ACLU championed what finally became, in 1947, Supreme Court decision that incorporated this, the phrase separation of church and state, or wall of separation of church and state. Well, that's not what the First Amendment means. That phrase does not occur in the First Amendment. It does not occur in any of our founding documents, including Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. It's from a letter that Thomas Jefferson, a private letter that he wrote to a congregation of Baptists in Danbury, Connecticut. And Thomas Jefferson was assuring them that they were anti-federalists, and he was assuring them that the First Amendment did not mean that government was going to come and close down their church. What Thomas Jefferson said in this letter was that the only prohibition was against establishing a religion by the federal government, like the Great Britain had established the Anglican Church, but that otherwise the public square was to be kept open for free expression of all religions. And that phrase, separation of church and state, has been used as a club to create freedom from religion when our founding fathers wanted freedom of religion.
When I look at the history of what you're talking about, and when I look at what I see with the separation of church and state, I am so overwhelmed when I look at the lack of education when it comes to people and when it comes to faith and churches, when they don't realize that the reason why they can't speak out is because of a tax code put in by Johnson. and not because of a separation of church and state.
Which needs to be challenged, by the way, because that is something that
it was a political ploy.
It's totally unconstitutional. Because why? Because you believe in God, are your rights taken away to speak out? You shouldn't have a right taken away because you believe something that's correct. Why hasn't that ever been directly challenged?
I mean, if you really look at this, and they really, I mean, he put it in because he lost, and he said that would never happen again.
Well,
and so,
what I point out in the book is that, you know, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, believed our freedoms were inalienable. In other words, put in the heart of every human being a knowledge that God exists and a desire to worship God in religion openly. And that Thomas Jefferson felt if we ever lost the ability to openly express religious views, we were headed down the path to losing our freedom. And I think that's right. I think in the public square, the First Amendment was intended to protect expression of public of God and religion has to be permitted. Now,
that doesn't
mean an atheist has to believe. But,
no.
But an atheist does not have the right to shut down any expression of God.
But they are, and they're doing a good job. They're doing a darn good, and the first, I mean, we here in Ohio where we are, the school that they had to take the picture of Jesus down,
yes,
is not far from us. The nativity scene, I mean, we're talking about small little sects of area where the ACLU and their minions have come in and fought so that they couldn't afford a lawsuit, they just concede.
And the ACLU is often acts like an extortionist. They'll come into a community and say, you'll do X, Y, Z, or we'll sue you. The community says they're going to face, you know, $200,000 in legal bills, whatever the amount is, and then the ACLU will sue to get their attorney fees paid. So you're facing a legal bill to fight the ACLU that many communities cannot afford, and they just concede to the ACLU rather than fight.
South Carolina, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, the ACLU is fighting against religion, but in itself, as an established religion, I mean, you know, they believe in secular humanism. I mean, people don't want to call it a religion, but it actually is.
I agree with that, too.
I agree. Right. It's almost like it's like the grass people.
Right. Well, see, and also the attacks on the traditional family, not just on, you know, now the ACLU is protecting child pornography. They are not just protecting and going in and arguing for same-sex marriage, but they're arguing for
expand on that a little bit.
There was a case in Massachusetts where a 10-year-old child was killed by two pedophiles, and the ACLU entered the case in Massachusetts to support NAMLA, which is the National Association, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. And the ACLU is supporting the right of that organization to print literature telling pedophile men how to find boys for sex and how to avoid prosecution.
Right.
And so I'm saying, you know, if ACLU can now, and the ACLU participated in a long campaign going back, I documented going back into the 60s and 70s, where the radical sexual agenda decided they were going to start publishing books and doing material to desensitize the American people to various different forms of sexual behavior. This book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays, in 1990, which was written by two gay activists, Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen, argued to make gays look good, to make anyone who accused them look like a victimizer, to represent gays as low-key, matter-of-fact, produced television shows like Will and Grace. Now, with the desensitization, I'm saying, well, okay, now are we going to have a desensitization campaign so that people no longer object to pedophilia? If that's the case, what's next? In the ancient world, once these bounds were created, once you lost the Judeo-Christian idea that sex was for procreation and it was for a family to raise a child, if sex is just for amusement, then the ancient world showed all kinds of forms of sexual behavior that people can engage in. Are we going to have all those be deemed constitutional rights?
The name of the book is Bad Samaritans, the ACLU's Relentless Campaign to Erase Faith from the Public Square by Jerome Corsi, Corsi, PhD. If you are out there, you want to take a read of this book, where can we find it, Jerome?
It's available everywhere. It's been published, so it's in bookstores, and if the bookstore doesn't have it, they'll get it for you. Also online, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and I write for WND.com, so it's in the WND.com superstore, the WorldNet Daily superstore. And my last name is Corsi, C-O-R-S-I.
And I have a question for you, and you wrote about this, and you know, I don't find a whole lot of people that I agree with almost everything in their book. You know, it's kind of that's pretty good.
Right. It's rare to agree with everything anybody says, of course.
That's right. When I read this book here, I have to say, I agree with everything that you've written.
Well, I'm honored.
And I thank you for taking the time, to write this. My question is,
maybe one of the most important books I've ever written, because I think it has to do with the future of our country as a faith-based country, and it has to do with how we raise our children and prepare for the next generation. And our fundamental freedoms. Our founding fathers said they built the republic and our freedoms for a God-fearing people, and I believe that to be the case.
See, I agree, because my concern is that when I look at last week in Boston,
yes,
as we erode the God from our nation, we erode the freedoms of our people.
Right.
And on Friday, you saw martial law.
Right.
In America.
Correct.
When we talked to people, they said that people came into their homes and they didn't want them in there, but they didn't have a choice. I never thought I'd see a day in America where they would be just barging into people's homes to look for someone and treating me like I was the bomber and had nothing to do with it.
And also, I mean, look, I was happy that President Obama came into the prayer service, but I'm saying, you know, God must be saying, where have you people been? You know, you can't pray in public, you can't pray in the public schools, and, you know, as I read the Bible, I can't find a single people that poke their finger in God's eyes and turn their back on God's law and He rewards.
I'm going to say it this way, I'll say it out loud.
Yeah.
What we had yesterday was not a prayer service. It was a television prayer show.
Yeah. Right, it was a prayer television show.
Yeah, it was good for the camera. But in sincerity of heart, and you can fool me some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time.
One second.
And America is very disingenuous when it comes to their faith right now, because we only want God for a feel-good moment.
Well, precisely, God is not just available for when, you know, we got a crisis and we want – God should be available in your entire life. And that's where I think – the adherence to God's law, which is a constant command that we all face. You know, the original idea of Judeo-Christian religion, Thomas Jefferson's belief, was that God's law is in the heart of every human being. It doesn't matter who that human being is or where they come from. The same law is in the heart of every human being. And that law has a set of behaviors which, if we do them, we lead a moral life and it's conducive to salvation. And you can't just have a value relativism where any form of behavior you decide you like is going to be equally good. That's where we're headed as a society. We've been there before. You can take a look at the paganism of the ancient world, and that's how it turns out.
Well, Tracy, let me ask Mr. Corsi this question. What if the ACLU and the folks that want this, what are they going to do with the Muslims?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm, as far as I'm concerned, Islam belongs as a public, it's a religion that should be in the public square too, and I'm assuming that Islam will be then a tolerant religion. So I'm not starting out with a prejudice against Islam. But what I'm seeing is that the ACLU is supporting Islam in situations where it would not support Judeo-Christian beliefs. In other words, saying that headscarves should be worn in a courtroom, or that foot baths should be in a public school, or that the instruction of Islam can be done in a public school where the instruction of the Bible could not be done in a public school. That's what I object to. I think, you know, I think Islam should play by the same rules as other religions, and we should all be tolerant of each other. The First Amendment is open to all who want to believe, and however they want to believe. It doesn't specify you have to believe a certain way. But at the same time, the religions have to be tolerant of one another and have to be treated on the same basis as one another. And I think that's something that the ACLU has lost sight of, because the ACLU has almost been defending Islam as a club against Judeo-Christian belief.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Hold on, Mr. Cox. Hold on. Yeah, hold on just a second. Let me say this, because I want to get this out. See, the difference between everyone else's faith and the foundation of America is that we have to tolerate everyone else, but no one tolerates our foundation. And I shouldn't have to erase my foundation from my marketplace because you come in and disagree with it. See, tolerance is being able to coexist in a society where we can all agree to disagree. But see, I have a problem when my child can't stand up and say God bless you, when we've been saying God bless you for at least 100 years I know. That's a problem. And that's
a problem. I really agree with what you're saying. You're saying it really well. I really agree with it.
Tolerance is not about changing my view on how you live. And I use same-sex marriage and same-sex relationships the same way. That's your business, and you can do that. But don't knock it when I don't accept it, because it's okay for you to live how you live. But it's okay for me to disagree with how you do it and don't want to talk to my children.
And what I'm also concerned about is that if, let's say, we get a Supreme Court ruling that says same-sex marriage is has a constitutional basis, then any minister in any church that preaches from a biblical point of view against homosexuality is creating a hate crime.
Absolutely.
And you'll have the ability of, you know, the thought police to enter that church and tell that minister what he or she may pray and may preach. And that's, I think, again, you know, a violation of the First Amendment, in that, you know, this expansion of the definition of the traditional family, I mean, how far are we going to go? Is bestiality okay? Is pedophilia okay? I mean, what has to be accepted? And certainly from a Christian, Judeo-Christian tradition, the argument for a traditional family is very strong and should yet be able to be made in a church, that argument.
Absolutely.
Now, can I get in there now?
Yeah, jump, Mr. Cox.
Okay, now look, I disagree with your guest speaker there on some things. He said they took prayer out of school. They never took prayer out of school. You can pray in school before a test that you want to pass this. You can pray. They never said you can't pray to yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's other religions that we have other religions besides the Christian religion. Okay? It's been there a long time before Christianity. And the last thing here, he keeps bringing up the founding fathers. There were atheists there among some of the founding fathers. They had slaves. Now tell me this. The founding fathers said we were three-fifths of a human being. Were they right or wrong?
That's not true, and that's not the reason. That was a good thing that they told us we were three-fifths. And we weren't saying we were three-fifths of a human being. They were saying that our votes would be counted as three-fifths because that's how the South was holding on to power and keeping us in slavery. So when the North came up with that to even it out, it was a good idea. It was not to dehumanize blacks. That's incorrect.
And it was also...
You got your opinion, I got...
That's not an opinion. That's what it was, Mr. Cox.
It's also Christians who led abolition. Christians led abolition. The whole abolition movement started in the churches. I think, you know, the right-thinking Christians have always known that slavery was a sin.
A lot of them didn't know how to engage in the process, and the miseducation of the American public is killing us. And the Bible says, "For the lack of knowledge, people perish."
Right.
And you see us eroding everywhere because of our ignorance. Because with all that getting, we're not getting an understanding of why things are done.
Right. And see, I object to even all the sexual movements trying to equate themselves to the civil rights movement. See, this to me is not... Civil rights movement had a solid foundation. It doesn't make any difference what color eyes a person has or what color hair they have or what color skin they have. These are irrelevant. These things are totally irrelevant. But you should be able to make the argument in a church that the sacrament of marriage was created for procreation of children. You should be able to argue that certain forms of sexual behavior go beyond the bounds of what's decent or what's intended by God's law. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that I'm not intending to write this book to say that... you know, people can't have variations in what they do, but at the same time, they have to not make it a hate crime to be able to preach biblically that a traditional family is and has been the bedrock of the Judeo-Christian tradition. And raising children is a responsibility I think we all face as human beings. This disintegration of the family is one that worries me deeply in terms of where the education and the moral education of children in this nation are headed.
I think it's gone. I think we're headed to a brick wall, and if we don't stop this ship, we're going to capsize. And I believe you see it happening. I mean, you see things happening in America today that I've never imagined would happen. From 9/11 to bombing at marathons to locking down people and taking away their rights. All these things are eroding from the fabric of our freedoms. You know, when I see kids going into schools and blowing up things and shooting up things, you know, guns have been around a long time and kids never went into buildings and shot up other people just because they felt like it.
Exactly. And the way to control the children is not to put drugs into them.
No.
Getting all these drugs that are being prescribed to our children, Ritalin, and you name it. It's a whole long list of drugs. But
we won't give them discipline.
We won't. And if we had parents involved and a moral education involved from the churches starting out when those children were being raised, I think that's going to replace an awful lot of the need for all these drugs. It alarms me to see the percentage of children born out of wedlock and the percentage of children born to teenage mothers, because that's a formula for failure. Any teenage mother that begins to have children, how is that mother going to support the children and educate the children and be there to raise them and go to work?
You're not.
She's got a rich uncle.
Well,
she's got a very rich uncle.
I never had very many rich uncles in my life.
No, Uncle Sam. You got an uncle too, Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The tax dollars.
Uncle Sam is
Even though he's broke right now,
I'm obviously not related to him.
Uncle Sam is the wrong one. We don't want the government in raising our children.
They already are. They won't even allow you to discipline your children. How do you take children away from the parents and tell them you can't train them up in the way that you believe is right.
Well, if you listen to the leftist, the extremes, they want a community to raise the child. And I'm saying, no, a child is to be raised by the mother and the father, by the parents. That's the thing that seems and most natural and by God's law. And the state should stay out of it. But, you know, you've got to have a family. And I still think, from a biblical point of view, you can preach and should be allowed to preach the wisdom of men and women committing to each other into a marriage, which is not easy, staying together, procreating children, and raising them together.
Not if you can't, and not if the father's not allowed and around, and we split up the family so much that it's so fractured that no one knows anything.
I know. And,
I mean,
and
it's fractured.
Back to Daniel Patrick Moynihan, he warned this in the 1960s. He said, these laws you're passing and these benefits you're putting into place are going to break up families. And they have done that. And then our morals, moving away from our tradition of the Bible and preaching the Bible and having the Bible publicly proclaimed, is moving us away from the morals where men and women saw a reason to stay together, a commitment to God to stay together. I have another show that's already calling.
I thank you so much. I appreciate you. It's time for you to go. We have been talking with Jerome Corsi. He is the author of Bad Samaritans, the ACLU's Relentless Campaign to Erase Faith from the Public Square. Thank you so much, Jerome. I appreciate it.
God bless you. God bless you, Tracy. Thank you.
God bless you, too, and thank you. We'll see you on the other side of my break. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Are crucial to continue the progress we've made in the city of Youngstown. As your next mayor, I will work to rebuild our neighborhoods, create and retain jobs, and fund our safety forces. I have a proven record of public service. As Mahoney County Commissioner, I provided fiscally sound and innovative solutions to managing budgets and the bottom line. I will bring that same experience to the mayor's office. I'm John McNally. I would appreciate your vote for mayor of the city of Youngstown. Our best days are ahead. Let's keep moving forward.
Paid for by McNally for Mayor.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
800 Quicken. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hands-free communication devices are supposed to make us safer on the roads, but a new study says they may be lulling drivers into a false sense of security. ABC's Karen Chase has the story.
You probably think voice-activated texting while at the wheel is safe. But researchers say you're wrong. They found it's just as dangerously distracting as texting by hand while driving, and actually could be even more dangerous because you think it's safer. Texas A&M scientists say it doesn't matter which method you use, your reactions are twice as slow, and your eyes are on the road less often. One surprising reason? You can't resist looking at the screen to be sure the device properly transcribed what you said. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Rutgers University will introduce a new men's basketball coach today who is going to replace the fired coach Mike Rice, L.A. Lakers assistant Eddie Jordan, the former Rutgers player. Rice was fired after video showed him grabbing and throwing a ball at players and uttering anti-gay slurs during practice. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home or the executor of an estate or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. In head-to-head competition with Toyota, Ford had better fuel economy in every segment. Stop in now at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and get a Fusion with 0% financing for 60 months.
Introducing a new, faster way for your business to communicate. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. Get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3 at att.com/enhancedptt3. A great new choice for business. You push to talk. AT&T pushed it further. AT&T. Rethink possible.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at YoungstownSymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at YoungstownSymphony.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. And this is Tracy and friends. I want to thank Jerome Corsi for coming on with us. And, you know, you need to really understand that we are truly erasing God from our public square as well as our marketplace. And outside of the minds and the hearts of our children and of our future, if we're not careful, and you take it for granted, and it not should not be taken for granted at any extent. You need to be careful, and we need to be mindful. Want to announce on Thursday at 5 o'clock. Miss Smith, have the right time, because I, you know, y'all know I will mess it up. At 5:30, Thursday at 5:30, in the old Dollar Bank building on the corner of Wick and Commerce, there is going to be an East Meets West networking with magnates, moguls, and entrepreneurs. It ought to be a really nice evening. They're asking for you to RSVP. It's free to you. They're going to help you just network. If you need funding, you're going to meet lenders. If you need financial certification to grow for the state, because you have to realize there is a set aside for minorities and female businesses in the state of Ohio for goods and services. So if you need, but you have to be certified by the state. So if you do that, you can go there. You'll be meeting some people there. They'll help you with real estate developers and business owners. You'll see minority commercial contractors. There are a lot of people that will be there. If you need a business partner, there are going to be some people there. And they want you to come out and just meet and greet and meet and run into people that you've not known, run into people that you do know that you haven't seen in a while, and just start, strike up a conversation with them. And that's going to be on this upcoming Thursday, April the 25th, at 5:30. And so to RSVP, please call 330-746-1109. So, Jeff is in studio with me. South Carolina's on the phone. I think Diva just called in. Hey, Diva, how are you, darling?
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good.
And I want to I want to thank Jeff for opening up the show. Today's Tuesday, and I go to Rotary on Tuesday, so I want to thank him for opening up the show and being here and being my backup. You don't know what it's like when you're trying to do a whole lot and you got somebody that's got your back. That's a blessing and a half. But I got to tell you all about how ignorant people are. There was a buffoon sitting inside of an arena that I ran into in the last couple days, who is an intellectual idiot who wants to blame Republicans for something that local Democrats have done.
Oh, I kind of can figure this out. Go ahead.
I got issues. And we need to quit letting people play mind games on how things work. You know, you need to call a spade a spade. If the spade is black, it's black. And if the heart is red, it's red. Don't be trying to call the heart
you know, heart black and the spade red, because that's not how the deck works. And I have a problem with that because it's very, very disingenuous to a lot of people and then to say that you are a writer and or a journalist. And I don't care what color you come in, what size or what area you're in. I'm sorry, I do. Because if you care about your community as you say that you do, and a lot of people say that they care. I got to go back to Al Sharpton. I'll pick on him because he ain't here.
Sharpton.
The man, how you going to call yourself a reverend and then take God out of the pledge? Help me out. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Because I'm not homophobic and I'm not.
And then say you represent the black, you are the voice of the black community.
I'm the voice of the black community.
You can't be the voice of the black community, take God out of the pledge, and then play around with buffoonery.
Tell what the buffoon said, though, and spell it out for the people that don't know.
Here locally.
They don't live here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll come back. Here locally, we have our municipal court, which is our city court, had three judges.
Uh-huh.
And we had an African-American judge by the name of Judge Douglas, and he retired early. Judge in the state of Ohio, you cannot run for election if you are at the age of 70.
Right.
He turned 70. He could not run for re-election, and so he had time enough to retire, so he did. The process, the way that it goes, is your local party interviews candidates for replacement.
Of whoever the governor is at the time to submit to the governor,
right? Of whoever the governor is at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Republican governor, Republicans do it. If you're Democrat governor, Democrats do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we have a very, very limited amount of in the city of Youngstown. Our pool is very, very slim when it comes to how many Republicans you can actually name that live in the city that actually have the credentials to become a judge.
Right,
very limited. There was a young lady who came in, and her name was Lori Shell. And we had a guy who was Islamic who came in. We had some other white males come in, and we had a couple white females come in. But there was an African American female who came in. Her name is Lori Shell. Lori Shell, she works here in the Juvenile Justice Center as one of the prosecutors, and she really knocked her interview out the park.
Impressed a lot of people, and I've known her since she was a child.
Not because she was black, mm-hmm. not because she was female, but wow, did she really have her finger on the pulse of the community and on the bench where it sits. And because she works as a juvenile prosecutor, she understands the crimes that she would be coming for her in her bench. Not saying that the government was going to appoint her, because that would be, you know, trying to put something on there. The Democrats here, the chair of the Democrat Party here, and the state representative, they put together legislation to downsize the local court from three judges to two, which changes the statute of how the place is governed. So not only do you lose a judge seat, but you also lose your vote for clerk of courts, and clerk of courts now becomes an appointed position, not a position that you are elected to. The Democrats, they control everything here in Mahoning County and in Youngstown City. The only Republican elected is a school board member. That's because he don't have an R or a D behind his name when he get done. They petitioned the Republican legislature. They have never gotten anything passed. They've never worked on anything down in the State Department. They don't never put any bills forth except for legalizing marijuana and doing stupid stuff. They put forth to downsize the court. And the legislative passed it. Now they want to blame the Republican legislature for passing a bill that the Democrats brought forth. Now tell me that's not buffoonery.
And the judge that retired was a Democrat, but he was appointed by a what?
Oh, Republican governor.
Republican governor way back when.
No, you got to realize Democrats don't appoint.
Don't appoint blacks in Mahoning County.
White Democrats
mm-hmm.
don't appoint black people, period.
To anything in Mahoning County. Yeah. But the Republicans are the prejudiced people that were getting ready to do two judges, and maybe that's why they didn't want that to happen, because they could have let the lady take the position and ride it out till it was over, then abolish the position, but they interrupted the process.
As the chairman of the Republican Party was fighting
right
to keep the seats at three.
Absolutely.
The chairman of the Republican Party was fighting to keep the seats at three. It was the Democrats that pushed forth the legislation to make it happen. And I get to sit down and wait a minute. And this intellectual idiot, he's going to ask a judge who's running unopposed about what they think. Like, and blame it on Republicans like it was us that did it. Does anybody, does that make sense to anybody? I'm just saying. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Yes, Al?
The only thing that could make this story even worse is the buffoon was black.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
That should have meant it'd be typical. See, here's the thing. When you do this, and you continually blame Republicans for things that your own party is doing, so you don't feel so bad about supporting and licking the boots of the people in your own party, that's the kind of foolishness you go out there and rant and rave on. They were ranting and raving on the radio at one time, but that's over with now. So, God is good. Let's put it that way. But you have to understand, you must understand that this is teaching is so entrenched into black people's minds that the Republicans are all, not just part of them, all prejudiced and racist.
They will drink sand and call it water, and then you'll sit up and say, you know, that water sure was good.
Right? Which is ridiculous. And I don't care whether you stay a Democrat, but don't be a foolish one. Take control of the craziness when they treat you like dirt.
Don't have to take control of it.
Just know the difference between
a lie and the truth.
Yeah. Please.
That's all. How hard is it to stand up and say what y'all did was foul? But now you want to blame Republicans because they asked for it?
We also like to identify Republicans and tell Republicans how rigid they are and how and how closed-minded they are, while liberals are open-minded, which is the most foolish thing in that I've ever heard in my life. Go ahead, you know I said it on purpose.
Yeah, and I find it quite ironic because since me joining this show, I've been called nothing but ignorant. I've heard Democrats call nothing but ignorant, low information voters, foolish. We don't think that's all you've been attributed to Democrats.
Diva,
so you mean it's
Diva,
it was good
what?
For the end? It's not good.
No,
for,
no, baby.
Good for
listen,
the end, good
at
for,
least when I say it, I put it in the right context.
Absolutely.
I've never called you personally.
I have.
Well, I have not.
I have
not called.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
No,
but I wasn't talking about any Republicans. I was speaking about conservative.
I'm not calling you ignorant, Diva. I'm not calling you a low information voter. But when I have, see, you and you can't say that I have.
No, I was referring to Jeff.
But see, you got to clarify the difference. Because see, I tell Jeff don't do that, and he don't listen to me.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, I have a problem. See, I'll throw mud on both sides, but I have a problem when you blame something on someone and it was your own people who threw the mud in your yard.
Or you mischaracterize. You know, if you mischaracterize something, here it is that you're going to tell me what's in my party platform, and you don't know. And I'm telling you what you're saying is not true, but you're insisting, yeah, it is true because you're this and you're that, and that's why I shut you down.
See,
I can't take that crazy.
I can take crazy. I just can't take stupid. And
well, that's stupid and crazy.
No. See, this was buffoonery.
Well, no, what you were doing was beyond buffoonery.
This is buffoonery.
Yeah, no doubt.
And when I say buffoonery is not a term of endearment.
Not at all.
It is what it is. And we want to call people who are Republicans and who are African Americans, we want to call them Uncle Toms. But when I call someone a buffoon, I want you to understand, when you carry sand to your own people and tell them that it's water, and you know it's not, that makes you a buffoon. Diva, I don't think you ever do that intentionally.
Well,
I don't think
you.
Yes, Al?
When you've got politicians that will enact a certain piece of legislation and then turn around and blame it on the opposite party, I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, or progressive. It doesn't make any difference. That is lying. That is deceptive, and they do not have your best interest at heart, period. No offense or buts about it.
And see, I have a problem with that. I have a problem when you take sand to your own people. Go ahead, private caller.
Is that me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hey, look, now, I'm one of them intellectual, whatever you call them. I heard you say something about an intellectual fool or whatever.
Mr. Cox, I wasn't talking about you.
I don't know. You're talking about that. I know a lot of intellectual idiots.
No. I wasn't talking about you. I wasn't talking about you.
Well, thank you, darling. I thought you were.
Because I don't think you intentionally give people poison.
No.
And tell them that it's Kool-Aid.
No, I don't.
I don't believe you do.
But there are others
that do. And my problem is with the others that do, that wear the black face and they carry the black pride, but in actuality they sell you out every day. And I have problem with that.
Well, who are some of these black leaders that you're talking about?
Al Sharpton.
Please, Al Sharpton, in the beginning, in his younger days, yes, he was a little bit on the out of the whatever. But hey, he has changed, has he not?
And he has not changed for the good. He was better when he was on the outside.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. When he had his conch on his head and he was going down the street and he was a fat man in a sweatsuit, he spoke the truth.
When he came here and he made that speech at the NAACP dinner, and he was talking about being self-reliant and for us to deal with the power structure, this, that, and other, he was doing a great, great, great thing. And his book was absolutely fantastic. But then the money started rolling in, and he started going with this, you're homophobic if you don't want gays to have rights. And we're not trying to stop gays from having rights. It was an overnight difference.
It was way before then.
Well, I'm just saying, it started going over.
Tawana Brawley.
Tawana Brawley. That's the turn that came.
Well, he had done Tawana Brawley before he came here. But that's not what turned him. It turned away after that. They started paying him later.
And as a matter of fact, Jesse Jackson's the same way. But I'm not calling names because I don't do that. I'm better than that.
But what I'm saying is
you need to analyze the local people that are here and make sure they're not selling the Kool-Aid. Because a lot of times the Kool-Aid that they're selling is they're getting ready to run a bus over the black community. And that's for real.
Well, I said before, I'm not anti-white, but I'm definitely pro-black. But listen, the thing is this. I have been a leader in my time here on this planet, and I have been a follower, okay? I fought for civil rights. And this town, this state was about as racist as it was in the Deep South. I don't know if you was aware of that.
Has it changed?
Not very much.
That's what I'm trying to say. Now tell me, who is it then, Mr. Cox? Is it the Republicans that's the prejudiced ones, or is it the Democrats?
Listen, they come in all colors. I mean, and you say, it didn't go what party, were you a Democrat or a Republican?
There's racism in both parties. Mr. Cox, that's true, but the thing is, I'm told by the buffoon that Tracy is referring to that it's only the Republicans that are ones that's the prejudiced ones.
No, he was wrong. He was
of
wrong.
Of course he was. But
he was wrong
does that all the
huge.
Time.
And I'd be one of the first to tell him that.
And see,
no, it's not
saying,
just.
But what I'm saying is, Mr. Cox, you are, listen, racism is everywhere, on all sides and all colors. The problem is, it's the ones who say that they are leaders in the black community that come back and kill us. See, I got a problem with you smiling in front of black folks' face and going to Massa at night and telling him all the secrets, and then him telling you what he wants you to go back and tell him, and then he goes back and gives me more poison to feed my community.
Right.
And doing it in the name of goodness.
Yeah, that's some of the black folks that can't think for themselves, okay?
But the problem is we follow them.
They listen to these street corner lawyers, you know what I mean? The ones that don't
know. No. These are people of stature in your community, Mr. Cox.
Well, tell me something. Hey, I'd like to know who they are. So
Mr.
I can blast
them. You know who they are.
Mr. Cox, I'll
no,
call
I don't.
You one day off. No, listen, I'll call you one day off the air because I'm better than that.
You're supposed to come over here for coffee anyway. I've been waiting.
I'm coming over there because I'm out of town, Cal. Skip the call.
And I want to have you ain't calling me yet. I'm upset about that, too.
I'm coming for Chow. I'm coming to eat. So I'm coming to see you. Just, I've been running. I've been running
I've been keeping up with you.
I just want to. This is my issue, and this is what I'm saying out loud. I watched this, and even with the issue too. The charter amendment that's on the ballot. I watched people get behind stuff that's going to kill them, and we need to really understand how little kind of nuggets can kill, you know, the whole mess. We need to be careful of who we're following. And because a lot of times we're following the wrong folks. And I'm not saying, oh, listen to me because I'm always right. What I'm saying is think before you leap. Because everybody that comes in a dashiki and a pair of overalls ain't your friend.
Everybody smiling in your face is not your friend. I agree with that. But I'm like
an umpire. I have issue with that. And I am tired of people selling out my own community for their own
personal
ego.
Gain. Right.
It ain't even personal gain. Your own ego. I got babies that are dying in the streets. Bullets still flying in the black community.
I know
kids
that.
Kids still walking across stages and can't get a job and don't have any sense. I got young black men with no diplomas. I got problems in my community. And I'm tired of people using those people for their own personal egos.
Well, I talk to as many of these young men as I possibly can. Whenever I get a chance. I mean, I don't go, you know, I don't get out like I used to. But like I said, when I got out of Uncle Sam's Navy there in 48, this town was as gracious as the Deep South. And housing projects, one half side of the street is black and the other half is white. We didn't have, you couldn't get a loan from the local banks downtown. If the house cost $15,000, that was back in the 40s now, you had to have a third down, like $5,000. At that time, people didn't even make $5,000 a year back. Could you believe that?
But see, Mr. Cox, let me say this to you. What you going through today, what you went through then, all of America's going through today. Because now it's no longer race, it's dog eat dog. I'm
greed.
Watching some stuff, yeah, and it's greed and power and power and people being thirsty for power. I'm watching people right now, and I'm watching white folks fight. I say it out loud. You know, y'all can come back and shoot me later on. I'm watching white folks fight. And we always thought that white folks fought differently than black folks. That's not true.
They're the same.
They treat white folks like you think they treat black folks. I mean, I watch them. They will mow down their own kids.
Demonize.
That's what I'm saying. And we think, well, it's racism. No, that ain't racism. That's just how dirty that person is. You just happen to be black. Because right now, when it comes to power and money and greed, they are ruthless.
And we got some black folks back there. Back in my day, they were just as greedy as the white folks. They took advantage of the fact that we, you know, we couldn't rent houses or buy houses here in this here town or in certain areas. This, like I said, this town, Ohio, was as racist as it was in the Deep South. The only difference
you know
was
what?
They had the signs in the South. There was no signs here, but you knew that you were black. They didn't let you forget that you are black.
But you know what, Mr. Cox? Maybe we were better off and just didn't know it.
How is that?
How is that?
Yeah.
Because at that time,
we worked with each other.
We had no choice but to go to the black store down the corner. We had no choice but to make sure that little Johnny got to his mama's house.
Right.
We had no choice in what we did. And, you know, we
made our kids learn in school.
We made them become better. And we made sure that the school, even if we had old books, we made sure that they learned more than what they knew now. Right now, we are losing, and we think we got something, and people are selling each other out every day, and we're still not getting anywhere. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
You know the old saying, you get what you pay for? When it comes to Trex Enhance decking at the Home Depot, it couldn't be truer. Think about the unmatched beauty and performance of Trex Enhance, the natural wood grain look, the superior shell technology, all backed by a 25-year limited residential fade and stain warranty. You'll never have to refinish your Trex deck, ever. Now it's making sense. You really do get what you pay for, and you won't have to wait, because Trex Enhance is now in stock at the Home Depot.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I'm Tracy, and Jeff is here in studio, and I hope you're having a good day. The number is 347-945-5229. I had to get that out because it just bothers me. It just bothers me when people do things in the name of they're doing something good, and in actuality, they really get ready to lead you into a burning building. And, that, you know, if I look at what happened with over in Russia within the Holocaust with Jews. You know, that's what happened with them. You know, we don't want to say it out loud, but it is true. You know, they were led in by people that knew them. A lot of them. Hey, South Carolina, what's going on with you? Okay, Diva. Well, everybody is on the phone and everybody left.
I'm still here.
You know, I just don't understand. And Diva,
I'm still here.
I wouldn't take that from Jeff. I wouldn't let him call you. I wouldn't call him.
What did I call?
I'm sorry, I called him a donkey butt.
And I told you I'd never be a donkey butt. That's the wrong party, baby.
It don't matter. I could say the other word. I'm much of a lady and a Christian to say that word.
He would what you call be an elephant's tail.
Maybe.
It's always a great way to say something. An elephant's tail. But Diva, I understand that you're getting some clarification on some things. I heard you going out gun shopping. That was
oh man,
funny.
I actually went online and I checked out the gun that I want.
Diva,
that was quick.
I mean, do you understand what that means? So going back to the conversation that I had that day. What is wrong with giving your daughter? No, you don't want her to handle guns. There's a difference between handling guns and having a knowledge of guns.
I had to change my mind on that too. I think
that we didn't handle guns.
I think now she needs to learn. I'm like, if maybe someone would have taught me at that age, maybe I wouldn't be so afraid of guns. That's my biggest thing is I'm afraid of guns. Anytime that I seen a gun or I've just always seen, my cousin was shot down. I've seen a young man kill himself with a gun. Just always violence when it came to guns. Being in the midst of shootouts when I was growing up in Westlake, having to duck and dodge. So guns always scared me.
Guns always scare, and you should have a healthy fear of guns. You should. You should have a healthy fear of guns. We all should. That's the problem. The people who are picking up guns today don't have a healthy fear of them because they don't understand the damage that it can do. But I need to know how to pick one up and use one if my life or my family is threatened also.
So let me ask you this. For the gun, and actually this is probably a good question for South Carolina, maybe Jeff. So the gun that I'm looking at is a Smith & Wesson 9mm. M&P Special. Is that a good gun for a woman?
You know, that's a sticks question.
Yeah, that is a sticks question.
That's a sticks question.
He knows all those guns, but I told you I'd get that Pink Lady because
I don't like that.
That.
No,
It was big and bulky. It didn't look cute. I don't like that.
Oh, no, the pink lady, you saw it in person?
It was a revolver.
Yeah, it's a 38.
I don't like revolvers. They're ugly.
Well, I'm telling you, that 38 do some damage. It'll get
I know, but they just
for you.
So, they just look so big and bulky. I think a 9mm Smith & Wesson would be good.
I'm gonna look at the Glock.
I'd get the Glock, and I'd say this: a 38 will do the job. A 9mm, because of how it is made and done, it'll go right through them, and they might not stop. But that 38 is gonna stop them, and that 40 cal will stop them.
Now, let me ask you this, because you know some of these guns have a little kick to them.
Like I said,
Diva, you might want to when you go to the gun store. You might want to talk to them about your size and your build also.
Like when I was doing my research online, the Smith & Wesson, it's like a Glock. It's just it's lighter and it's thinner and it has less kick. So that's why I was looking into that. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to do more
in-person. Sticks will be here tomorrow, Diva. Call. Yeah. Call in tomorrow and ask Sticks. He'll be glad to hear you even saying it remotely.
Did you look for a gun?
He said
that once I get my CCW, him and his wife will take me gun shopping.
And they will.
And you know what? And they will.
They will.
Let me. I gotta throw this. Do you guys know that the guy from the Ryerson suspect that sent the card to the White House that they arrested before the bomber? Do y'all realize they let him go today because it wasn't him? Okay.
No, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, you know the guy who they said they sent the rice and the poison to the White House? It wasn't me.
Well, his life is ruined. That's funny. Hey, you're sort of like
that ain't funny.
It is funny.
You know what they want to say why ain't it funny?
Why?
Because it could have been me.
Well, as long as you ain't in office yet, you all right.
No, I'm talking about they picked him up.
I'm saying. You ain't mailed no letters?
No, I ain't mailing no letter.
And you ain't threatened nobody.
No.
This guy has threatened people before.
But it wasn't him.
Oh, well.
It wasn't him. They detained. You know how long they detained his life? He went through Boston and everything else.
He sure did.
Before they got to him.
He sure did. You're like a political savant there, Diva. You going from one extreme to the other.
No, I'm not. I might.
Yeah,
I can
you
evolve.
Are. That's extreme.
That is not extreme.
No. She's like President Obama. She can
evolve.
Oh,
she's evolved. Oh, yes. Okay.
She and Rob Portman, they evolve.
But wouldn't you rather for someone to evolve when they're enlightened instead of being rigid, even though they've come across the truth of a matter?
And Diva, I can understand that because I was not always the same on abortion, and I was not, and I've always been the same on same-sex marriage. But I have not always been completely, you know, taking it away from a woman's choice and all that kind of stuff. And I had to get to a point where to really feel like really realize the history and the nature of it, and the demonic activity of it. So it took me a minute. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I've always been this pro-life, you know, because I wasn't. Because y'all know I'm anti-kids. What?
You're not anti-kids. You anti-having kids.
Same thing.
No, it ain't.
Yeah, it is.
No, it ain't.
When you come to visit, take your kids home. I have a question for you guys, and we're at the end of the day. The number is 347, oh, my goodness, 945-5229. Why is it that people don't raise their children the way they were raised when they turn out halfway decent?
Because I'll never spank my child. I'm not going to teach him to hit. You're not a hitter, but I'm not going to teach him to hit because that teaches it. They believe in this crazy behind
I
think it depends on the person's experience and how they felt and what they went through, because as much as I love my mom, there was a lot of stuff that, as far as her parenting, this should not have happened. I turned out okay, but somewhere in my adolescence, in my early 20s, it did have a big impact on me, and it wasn't good. So I do. My mom has a problem that I don't raise my daughter like she raised. Like, I don't really feel it's necessary to hit my daughter or spank her because it don't work. So
but
I
let me
have
ask
to try
you this.
Other.
depending.
I whooped her a lot when she was younger, so now
it's
like.
Hold on. Is it because of who she is, or because of who you are? Because see, some children you never have to spank. All you got to do is almost raise your voice, and they like, okay, mommy, I don't won't do it no more. Just based on who they are.
It's because of who she is. The one thing I did pick up was my mom always, if she said our first, our middle, and our last name, oh, we knew we were in for. So my daughter knows.
That's why you have middle name.
When I use that first and that middle, she don't even let me get to the last name. If I use that first and that middle name, I don't really have to spank her or discipline her with the belt or anything because she's, it doesn't, I mean, it's just, she'll straighten up before I get to that point.
But why is it that, I noticed that, you know, when our parents called us, we never put our finger up and told them, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
That, how do kids get away with that today?
I don't understand.
773, your mic is on. Hi, Chicago.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I see a young child was shot right around the corner from Barack Obama's home in Hyde Park. Second shooting not too far from Barack Obama's home in Hyde Park.
He ain't living there. That was rude. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Are you surprised?
No, because he's been bought and paid for back in 2008 through the campaign contributions from the billionaires, and also in 2012 he's been bought and paid for. So when you bought and paid for, you have you lose basically some of your morals, and what you talk about fighting for.
What the heck got to do with a kid getting shot four blocks from his house?
Well, he said he was going to transform Washington, didn't he? And basically he went backwards from transforming Washington with this health care reform and also
the Congo is not
with,
Washington. The Congo is not Congress.
But he's supposed to be here. I mean, Rahm Emanuel, his good buddy. You know, wouldn't you think
Rahm Emanuel is?
I'm
trying to connect the dots to your point.
Rahm Emanuel is his boy. Listen, ain't nobody got a boy.
With a 14-year-old boy getting shot four blocks from his house.
It's Obama's fault. He gave him the bullets.
Okay.
Obama's going to fix
what?
It?
Yeah.
Obama's going to save the day.
I mean, everybody thinks that he's some type of superhero.
No,
Hold on,
you gotta understand. He allowed people to believe that.
What I'm trying to tell people, your listeners, I mean, some of them that's waking up in mind, Obama's nothing but a corporation. The billionaires that financed his campaign back in 08 and 2012, he's bought and paid for. So all the things that he said that he was going to do was basically just to say that to get elected. He's been bought and paid for, and the people that's pulling the strings tell him exactly what to do. Now, you don't have to believe anything I say, but you can just look it up on your own.
Hey,
you've been talking to my boyfriend,
because
that's the same crap he's been talking about lately.
Who?
Hey, am I on there?
The guy I'm dating, and it's driving me nuts.
Oh. Hi, Mr. Cox. Your mic
hey,
is
I just
on.
Wanna. No, I got off the shut the phone down. But that guy up in Chicago, that guy makes me sick to the stomach. First of all, it's President Obama.
Love Mr. Cox.
And we're tired of hearing you knock that you don't know a damn thing about the Obama except you happen to live there in Chicago. I call you an Uncle Tom, man, but you really are. You're sickly. You don't have a damn thing to do with demonize our president. Why don't you read a good book or something?
But I tell you what, Obama, when he had his
President
Obama dinners for his campaign, he wasn't thinking about you.
You know what, man? I don't know where the hell you come from, but you got a problem, a big problem.
like you got a mental problem for one thing. And you don't have...
Be nice. Oh. We're not going to call each other names. We're not going to make it personal, Mr. Kyle.
Well, mental? That ain't no name. That's
no,
in
you
the
can't...
English language. And
no,
I've heard my friend Jeff there say things too.
I tried
to listen to
y'all
on
Mr. Cox, I've been trying to conform Jeff. He won't act right. I tell him he's not allowed to say stuff, and he just does.
Jeff just goes on his own tangent
and has his own show.
You ain't going to stop Jeff. Jeff's my boy. I like Jeff. And
I
he
like
be
Jeff
right
too.
Sometimes, but Jeff
I've been trying to get Jeff not to be personal with people and call them idiots and stupid and all that.
Yeah.
I try.
It's hard to do.
Jeff does what Jeff does when I'm not here, and I don't know. I don't even listen to the shows when Jeff's not here because Jeff won't act right. And I don't want to be mad at Jeff, so I just don't listen.
Well, Jeff is right sometimes. There are some idiots out there. There's some fools, and that's one of them up in Chicago. And that is not derogatory. I call them, I'm like an umpire. I call them like I see them.
Mr. Cox.
Okay.
Mr. Cox.
Yes, darling.
President Obama.
Yes, darling.
Y'all ain't,
I gotta take my blood pressure pills because that guy up in Chicago. That's why I probably
Mark
got LaVoy, high blood pressure.
Listen,
Go ahead, Chicago. Hold on, Mr. Cox.
98% of blacks have voted for President Barack Obama in 2008. What 92% voted for him in 2012. Your black males are still at a 33% unemployment rate. You have mass incarceration for black males. So basically, you have basically a 40 or 30% of black males that's doing what they're supposed to do here in this society in America. Now, you have not got one policy from this president. He has addressed the Latinos. He has addressed the gays. He addressed everyone else but you, and you voted for him 98%. The numbers don't lie.
Look, the man cannot stop this incarceration, okay? When he took the oath of office, he said he's going to be president of all the people, and that's what he's been trying to do.
Here we go.
No.
Here we go.
How many blacks voted for Bill Clinton in 92 and 96? But no one said we did so because of our skin color or his skin color.
Bill Clinton was the first black president,
remember?
Yes, and remember, you understand the reason why a lot of the mess that we're in today, you can't blame all Barack Obama for it because Clinton had a lot to do with it. And let me also say this. Just because we did it before doesn't mean we need to do it again. And what we're doing is we are treating people like they like us instead of treating them like an institution and making them work for us. Now, I don't care what color he is, and I don't care how much you love him or like him. You can love your mama, but you need to make her feed you at least once a day. And what we're doing is we are personalizing our political arena, and we need to take that out. And I will say this to you. If you want to know the truth about it, the Democrats treat black people like the Republicans treat evangelicals. And the evangelicals are just as ignorant about the public process as the African Americans are. And that's why neither one of them are getting their agenda pushed forward, and it's hurting all of us because they will not take time to listen and to learn.
Well, I always said on your show, Tracy, you have to get these billionaires out of the campaign. You need campaign reform. You have to get these guys out of politics and funding.
Chicago, you don't have to get them out. All you got to do is educate them.
They're pulling the strings. No, it doesn't matter because money always rules. So you have to get these guys out of the political process and these super PACs if you really want to see a change in America. But I don't see that really going to happen because everybody likes status quo.
Chicago, you're absolutely wrong. I'm telling you. You don't have to be a billionaire to change the process. All you have to do is have the knowledge that the billionaire has. Our problem is they know how to make it work, and what they don't know how to make work, they go pay for. Our problem is we won't take time to learn how the process works so that we can change it. And I will continue to say that. Billionaires only have the same one vote that you have. The difference is they know how to put their vote to work, and we don't.
If you gave
me the opportunity, I can make President Obama dance. I can make him do a jig, and I can make him do the boogaloo, and I can make him do whatever you wanted him to do.
But
if I had 98% of
the
vote behind me.
The Latinos are making a move because They're working cohesively economically also.
Right.
They want
it does
matter. Until you get big money out of politics, then you will start seeing a systemic change in America.
Listen, the reason why Latinos are getting what they want is because they want their vote. But we believe, but they already have the black vote. They already have the poor man's vote. They already have the unions keep you in line, and whoever the unions can't keep in line, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and the rest of the Congressional Black Caucus, they whip in line, and they threaten them with jail. Because all of them headed to jail if they don't go along with the party, because they got an envelope on everybody. Now, that's just true that.
All you got to do is ask Charlie Rangel.
No, Charlie Rangel, ask Jesse Jackson Jr., or Jesse Jackson III.
Charlie's suing him, though.
Hey, listen,
Charlie's,
as far as people greasing their own palms, black and white politicians have been doing that for years. And
yeah, but right
they
now they're killing us. No, right now, Mr. Cox, the problem is they've been doing it for years, but they've been going down on their own, on, you know, in small ways. Right now, we are honestly dying. We are dying, and we don't even realize it, and that's what makes it so bad. When I talk about the buffoons that we have, it's because they are carrying sand, they're carrying poison out to us. And we don't think that misinformation is poison, but it is. It's killing us.
You know what's killing us? Greed. Greed. G-R-E-E-D. Greed.
But the problem is greed is causing me to poison my own family. You tell me, well, listen, you go take this information to your family and let them die, and I'm going to give you $1 million. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And until we wake up to what's really going on here, they are really acting, you know, it's better for you to take strychnine than for you to take bad information and carry it along, because it actually perpetuates from year to year. And you see it, and you see it manifest in our communities every day.
Okay.
And the more we try, the harder it is. Our young people are not getting any better, and no one's saying anything about it.
They're talking about it. People are talking about it.
They're not doing any, Mr. Cox. They're not doing anything about it. They may be talking about it, but they ain't doing nothing.
Hey, when they brought drugs into these neighborhoods, our black neighborhoods, that's what started this downgrade of our black youth. Okay, drugs.
Nope.
It was
no,
drugs.
It was before that.
What was before that?
The Great Society, when they took the black man out the home.
Exactly.
Welfare did that.
That's what we're talking about.
If a woman got a man in the house, he's not supposed to have a man in the house.
How do they think the baby got here?
Well,
no,
they don't know
that. Conception?
That was it. Welfare did that, kept the black men and a lot of other men out of the house.
Okay,
but now, when that happens,
Mr. Cox, now, since the president took over, we got about 15 to 20% more people on that welfare system. The same thing. The same thing. So what is that telling you about the situation? They're not here to help you. They're here to help themselves.
You know,
they think
okay.
government should be expanded while the people lose their power. And that's where I disagree with this guy, and that's where I fight him on every turn. Because I want the freedom to do what I want to do in the country, not to have to listen to what some government tells me I can eat, drink, sleep, have to buy, or anything, because the government is supposed to be me.
Okay.
Can I answer you? The reason why you can't answer the question?
They ain't got enough time?
No.
Oh, you got two minutes.
I know.
Okay.
The lady said 90 seconds. I got to go. I love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow. I love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Please don't be fooled by the buffoonery. Begin to think for yourself and stand on your own two feet and get things done. God bless you. Have a good day, and we'll see you on tomorrow. Jeff, we'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday.
See you in a minute. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Bombings, another for the youngest of the victims of the bombings that day. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
More than 100 police officers formed an honor guard outside the church for MIT officer Sean Collier's funeral mass, celebrated by the Archbishop of Boston and attended by Governor Deval Patrick. Also today, 8-year-old Martin Richard, the youngest victim of the marathon bombings, was laid to rest. His parents said this has been the most difficult week of their lives.
Richard's funeral was not open to the public. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano testified at a Senate hearing today that when suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev left the U.S. for Russia last week, her department picked up on it, even though his name was misspelled on the flight manifesto. But the system did not pick up on his return to the U.S.
The system pinged when he was leaving the United States. By the time he returned, all investigations had been closed.
Meanwhile, the surviving suspect, Johar Tsarnaev, has been upgraded to fair condition. Frustration is mounting in the town of Des Plaines, Illinois, where residents are angry about the city's lack of help in flood-ravaged areas of that town. This resident says a neighbor had to rescue her from her home when the water level rose several feet. She says the city never called.
They dropped off sandbags Thursday morning. That was the last we've seen of them.
The governor of Illinois has declared 4 dozen counties their disaster areas. Expect to spend more time on the tarmac as the FAA furloughs of air traffic controllers continues to slow air travel. Republicans are blaming the White House. Spokesman Jay Carney, pass the buck right back.
Only Congress can take action to stop these delays.
The furloughs are part of the deep budget cuts known as the sequester. The Dow is up 126 points, NASDAQ up 30. This is ABC News.
Teams are going to be moving up. They're going to be moving down. Steve Milner, cornerback at Alabama, having going.
Your team's future starts on draft night.
Where the Kansas City Chiefs are picking and grab Dee Milner ahead of the other teams. Another quarterback, Matt Barkley, his stock plummeted.
Know what we know, and you'll know the draft.
Round. Running back outside of Eddie Lacy from Alabama. Nobody to speak of at that spot. Tight end Tyler Eifert from Notre Dame figures in the top.
The 2013 NFL Draft. Coverage begins Thursday at 8 Eastern on ESPN and Watch ESPN. Presented by Bud Light.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Some young baseball fans are getting a real treat today. They're going to see the movie about Jackie Robinson. ABC's Larry Jacobs has the pitch.
Major League Baseball's 30 teams plan to take thousands of teenagers to see the Jackie Robinson biopic 42. Students from 8th grade to the 12th in the U.S. and Canada will be chosen for private screenings in their cities. Commissioner Bud Selig is scheduled to host the first showing today in Milwaukee. Special guest, Sharon Robinson, the daughter of the player who broke baseball's color barrier in 1947.
What are you going to do if one of these pitchers throws through your head?
I'll duck.
Selig says it could help educate our next generation about the proudest moment in baseball history. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
Well, here's a good example of the power of social media.